Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and today I'm very excited to have several professionals in the studio. We have Alicia Horn, mortgage broker and owner of True Mortgage. Welcome, Alicia.
Thank you.
Happy to have you. And Chelsea Pites, Chief Marketing Officer with Group 4610 Network.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm excited to be here.
I am too. And the gal who made this all happen, Alexa Mosier, Executive Administrator and Director of Guru Sales with Group 4610.
Thank you, Karen. It's always good to see you.
Likewise. I joked and said, were you able to find us well? Because I know you used to spend a lot of time here near the studio. So we've got an exciting conversation around, I think, real estate and lending and even in branding. So let's just kick it off. Let's start with Chelsea, if we can. Tell us about Group 4610 Network.
Group 4610 Network is a very unique real estate team. They are a multi-state real estate team, and they have extensive experience in the local marketplace here in Arizona, which is where we are at. And really, when we talk about branding, made a really exciting brand for themselves almost accidentally in the depths of the lows of the market, right? Which we normally hear when we were getting out of the market, when everybody was going through foreclosures and short sales. And they really kind of had this idea of how can we create something where there's need? How can we go into this disruption phase and leverage that? And so this team has grown in leaps and bounds and has really expanded into a lot of different states. And that brand that they bring with them is started by two founders who are exceptional at real estate and know what they're doing and are able to coach at a level that brings the agents up to elevate that, because they're really focused on being tech-enabled, disruption-ready, and having centralized systems, which is really unique to the industry. And I've been in the industry 17 years. So I've seen a lot of different things and styles. And it's really exciting to be able to work with them and work on coaching and training and marketing and their expansion plans.
So you've not only been in branding and marketing and that whole piece, but you've also have a real estate background as well?
I do. I was a real estate agent I've been licensed for almost 17 years. I was in new home sales and residential resale, got out of the residential resale market when everything went down here, which some of you all might remember, and went into the title side for a while and did a lot of director of marketing there for a large title company. And now kind of am back to my real estate roots.
Interesting. Yeah. So how neat to come full circle and apply the whole marketing, branding, social media piece. You've used the word disruption a couple of times. How would you define that as it relates to the work you're doing with Group 4610?
Well, I look at us as disruptors, which is a good thing. I think that name, you know, I was just recently at a conference and they were really talking about the theme of the outsiders are now the insiders, right? Because the consumer, and we're all consumers, we have the power. When I was in real estate, when I started, we held the power as real estate agents. You couldn't see a house, you couldn't find a house, you couldn't get the information, you could not get in a property without the realtor. And now you can see a house with the click of a button on an app. You can go to, you know, all of those big websites where everybody are looking at homes. They don't, data is not, there are no margins in data anymore because we don't own that. So we have to think about how can we really create value and become the digital mayor of an area and be a local resource, giving that consumer the answers to the questions like, if I move here from out of state, where will my kids go to school? What will it be like living there? What are the best restaurants? So it's really a conversation about how do you stay relevant in a tech world? And that's through creating systems and proprietary software and technology. And how do you provide not only your client as the consumer value, but I mean, we look at our main clients as our agents. We're really focused on how do we serve our agents? How do we attract and retain them in a way that other teams perhaps aren't, through technology and through innovation?
And part of that, once they are on board with you, I would imagine is helping to help make them more visible, to give them the exposure, right? Because at the end of the day, correct me if I'm wrong, but when it comes to, I think any industry where you have a service and you're in sales, it's about relationships, isn't it?
You know, it's funny because my mantra for this year is it's less about the house for real estate now, it's more about the agent. And that scares a lot of people because that means, you know, I might have to go on camera. I might have to do live video. I have to get myself out there. But it, what comes down to is what I call a camera first branding strategy. And we all have a camera. We all have a broadcast network in our pockets. It's called our iPhone. And the consumer is being trained, as we all have been with Amazon and Netflix. We, you know, if I can't prime it, then I'm not going to buy it. God forbid, mm-hmm. I have to wait two more days.
Right.
And so the consumer thinks that. And also in a social media world, 10 years ago, it was like, well, I don't have a Facebook account. Okay. Now it's weird. If you don't have a Facebook account, people wonder if there's something wrong
for
with
our generation, trust. Actually, though. Yeah. Right. Or yeah. some sort of, so if you don't have a social media right. presence somewhere, and I'm willing to bet for real estate industry, Facebook really is still the best place to yeah. play, isn't
Instagram
it?
Instagram is coming up to yeah. a very close second, but Facebook is the place to be for sure.
Yeah.
But people start to validate you and develop a trust without even knowing you based on what your presence looks like online and if they can or can't find you and reviews. And we can thank Amazon for that. You know, mm-hmm. it's like I won't buy something for 4.5 stars, but if it's a 5-star, I'll get it, right? It's probably perfectly fine. So we're running into an industry really around behaviors and how do we adjust our branding to those behavior styles. And the good thing, I think, for our industry as small business owners and real estate agents, entrepreneurs, if you will, is that we have a face. Nike and Apple, they don't have one face. They have a big corporate group of faces, but we have the ability to have one face to connect with a person and be relatable. And we have all the free tools to do it now.
Love that.
Do you just do the marketing and the branding for that company or?
Yes. So
for Keller Williams.
Yeah. For Group 4610. Okay. Yes. I do a lot of speaking in real estate related conferences. I just spoke at Inman, which is probably nobody knows what that is, but it's kind of a large conference for our industry. But yeah, it's really been exciting to come on board and create some new marketing plans.
They must feel very fortunate to have you.
I'm fortunate
right?
to be
because
there.
I know that you have a name out there for yourself with speaking and really helping people to better understand how important branding is. And for Group 4610 Network to have you.
Well, I feel the same people. Way. It's a great place to be, great environment. The founders are amazing, really involved too. As somebody who's owned a business, there's a difference between people that own a business and aren't there.
Yeah.
And people that own a business and are in it every single day.
Well, some people just aren't good at branding and social media and those types of things. So it's good to have someone like you.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like the E-myth, if you guys have heard of that.
It's like when you get to a certain point.
Yep. You really have to hire those experts and get that mm-hmm. talent because, you know, you can only grow so much before you start doing everything, right? And all of that stuff has changed. I mean, if we tried to create a website these days, I mean, I think we could have probably figured that out years ago, but everything is changing so quickly. And if you're not a true practitioner of coding or developing or sales training or marketing, it's hard to be an expert in all of those things. Mm-hmm. So you kind of really do have to create a team of people to do that with, to be successful.
Yeah. Alexa, what drew you to the group?
Honestly, just the founder's drive. So I met the founders probably about a year ago, and I could just tell that they were very into what they're doing. They're very passionate about what they're doing, which attracted me. And I am actually studying entrepreneurship through school, which
I didn't know that.
Super exciting. And I was very attracted to where they have grown their business and their future forecasts. And I wanted to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. So well, I love that. Chelsea, let's go back to really this transition, you know, staying on the edge and the cusp of where real estate is headed. How are you guys doing that for the agents that are part of the network?
Well, we are not only embracing technology, we're making technology. So there's a lot of proprietary software. We have, I think, as far as I know, we're the only real estate company, at least locally, that has a developing team in-house to make that proprietary technology. And it's really about, it's beyond that. It's how do we centralize and make it so that the agents who come and work there can maximize their efficiency with serving their clients. We have one of the only centralized transaction advocates, is what I call them, for our team across these states that they're licensed, they're experienced. I mean, there's probably upwards of 100 years of experience in that group. And they're able to communicate through technology and streamline and simple processes that you may hire one or two or three people to do. We look at and say, how can we use technology and maybe not even build it and make it proprietary, but what can we put together to make a system that just, you know, goes automatically so that you can do more, you can be more places. You know, I'm of the generation where we have this mentality of going to the same office every day. And now you could really work from anywhere in the world with your laptop and your phone and some Wi-Fi.
Right.
It's pretty incredible. And now you can actually see people when you're doing that with Zoom calls and video calls. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Are the agents that do the videos and those types of things more successful?
I absolutely. I find that as I've been working with a lot of agents over the last 3 to 4 years, 2015 kind of really marked that camera first, camera ready explosion with Facebook Live and Snapchat and Instagram stories. And the people that are embracing it, halfway because of the algorithms, they're just getting shown more. But it's the benefit of being on camera is that you can see someone eye to eye and there's trust that's built that you can't see over a text message or hear or feel. People can be relatable on camera and it feels weird to document your life. I get it. A lot of people are like, I don't have anything exciting going on in my life. Nobody wants to follow me around. But there is some sort of magic in the mundane of sharing someone's daily life with them. And it is real reality TV in actual real time. So not only can I watch you, but I can talk to you while you're making your video, which is pretty cool. And so, they absolutely are because that is what we're expecting now. And so the people that are really embracing the camera are having deeper connections. When people meet them, they say, oh my gosh, I feel like I already know you. Of course, I want to hire you as my mortgage professional or my lender because I feel like I've watched you for a year on social media. So there is definitely something to feeling like you know someone, just like, you know, when we were in the 80s and we'd watch our shows and say, oh my gosh, you were so devastated when someone died. And you're like, why am I crying? This isn't a real person.
but it feels so real. It's obviously. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's fascinating that social media has done what it has to every industry, not just real estate, but even radio, manufacturing, what it doesn't matter, aerospace, name it. We now have to have this presence. And I think for the folks who are real estate agents to know that they are part of a team that's committed and dedicated to helping them put themselves out there comfortably, confidently, and in the right way has got to be very, a great draw for you guys. Because I think there's obviously people can hang their license anywhere.
Right.
And if they don't have this robust team behind them that's in development around marketing and branding and strategy, and they go ahead and do a live stream without some of the coaching, then maybe that trust factor isn't built in there.
I would agree with that. The other thing I think that is so important and unique about our group is that it's a bunch of practitioners. It's people that are actually doing it. It's not like I read a book and I'm like, okay, great. Well, let's learn
try this.
I mean, like you said, you've seen what I do. And I do that, one, to learn how to do it, because I believe if you don't know how to do it, you shouldn't teach it. And two, I want people to really understand that, hey, I've been where you're at. I know what it's like to feel nervous. I know what it's like to have your live just go, you know, blank when you're on, you lose your Wi-Fi, all of those things, because, you know, you're a practitioner. And that's with our founders, Kevin and Fred. I mean, they are practitioners. They did real estate hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands of transactions. And I would imagine they've come across everything you could imagine. And our internal transaction advocates, they've been in 7 different states and they're all licensed in those states. I mean, you can't get that amount of experience somewhere else. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
They've always said Keller Williams is a very good company to go and work for as a new agent coming in. I've heard that a lot too. I mean, for different brands and different divisions of Keller Williams, because they do a lot of training.
Yeah. I mean, for our team, for Group 4610, they really do a great job of coaching. I mean, we have an on-staff coach. For mindset and productivity. And we have the social media training, which is what I would be doing. And, a lot of coaching from the leaders of each region. So it's it's almost more of a coaching company than it is, you know, a real estate company. It's really about focusing on the agents, how to streamline the transaction, how to help them build their brand on behalf of the company to attract that customer. and then how to, you know, really coach that mindset of success.
I think more and more companies, again, regardless of the industry, that's a draw for a lot of the employees coming on board, whether you're an independent contractor or you are actually a salaried employee. More and more people are wanting to connect with companies and stay longer when they know that they're being coached, guided toward leadership, finding their way to success. I mean, you got to be coachable and willing to take the information. But, you know, just in the short time that I've been running Phoenix Business Radio, more and more corporations are saying, we care about our team. We want you to stay. And we want to have this incredible feedback loop that we hear what we need to improve on. And we want you to be willing to listen to what we, you know, what we know that you need to shift and upgrade in order to be successful as well.
Right. Investing in your culture. I mean, we just had a meeting today about culture and we talk about it all the time. How can we improve our culture? How can we recognize our employees and our staff and our agents? And how do we, because when you have that culture and everyone's on the same page, it shows to your end consumer. It just shows. And that attracts more business and for everyone. It attracts more agents. It attracts more consumers to those agents. When you're happy where you work and when you believe in what you're doing and there's a team behind you that is marching the same march, beating to the same drum, it makes a huge difference in wanting to be there.
Excellent.
Helps motivate you too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Staying motivated with a group of people who are moving forward makes a huge difference.
Yes.
Absolutely. So Chelsea and Alexa, can you stay in the studio a little bit longer while we shine the spotlight on Alicia and True Mortgage?
Yes.
Excellent. So Alicia, tell us about True Mortgage. You've been in the industry quite a while.
I've been in the industry for about 20 years. Started in processing a long time ago and then became a broker out here in Arizona in 2005. So, and I've been a broker, independent broker out here ever since. So never been in the banking side of it. So I've always been on the broker side, which I like very much.
And I know you've worked with several people. I mean, while you're a team of one, basically, you've got people who feed you referrals, who are folks that you'd recommend for title, that sort of thing. Tell us a little bit about your team.
Well, as you said, my team's pretty much independent, but I do have a couple of loan officers that work underneath me. They help me a lot with my processing and stuff too, but mostly referral-based business. Everything has been through referrals, so we definitely are big on customer service. And
yeah, it's funny. My sister moved from California not too long ago and Alicia and I have known each other for a long time. She was at a family in fun function that we had, and about 2 months later, my sister texted me and said, "Hey, do you know True Mortgage, Alicia Horn?"
And small world.
Yeah, small world. And I said, "In fact, indeed, I do." I said, "And you do too, because you met her at the celebration and
at Thanksgiving." Came, actually,
yeah, was it Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and so. So I said back to my sister, I'm like, "Kathy, yeah, you've met her." And she's like, "Well, she's doing our lending for our place out in Kanterra."
Which is random for someone moving from California to get a referral through an agent that I work with out here and happen to be
your
sister. I did not know.
Isn't that funny? At Small World, of course, they were very pleased. And I think about the same time we were taking care of our refi as well.
Yes.
Most of your business, if not all of it, is referral-based?
Is referral-based, yes.
What, and I want to ask you to brag a little bit. I know that's out of your comfort zone. But what would you say that has these realtors and or these buyers and sellers who, you know, come back and have you do their refi and that sort of thing? What would you say that you hear from your customers that as to why they want to come back?
I would like to think just because I do have 100% control over the loan. I mean, from beginning to end, I'm a part of it. I know everything that goes on with it. Where I think a lot of times in a mortgage transaction, people get lost. You know, you start with someone and then you go on to the next person and then you've got 10 other people involved in the transaction. So you kind of don't know who you're supposed to call and talk to at times or communicate with. And communication is a very big thing with real estate through the borrowers and the real estate agent. So I try to stay in constant communication with the client and the real estate agent. So I think that helps a lot. And not have to have too many people in the transaction.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in lending right now. I mean, what's the state of...
market is pretty crazy right now. Rates have gone up quite a bit. Rates are still fantastic. I mean, there's nothing better than a rate. If you can get a rate under 4.5, that's a pretty good rate. I mean, I think that we've just all been spoiled out here with the rates in the threes, and you know, it got really low, lower than anyone ever expected. So,
but they are climbing. You're seeing
they are climbing back up. Mm-hmm. Since November, we have gone up about almost 0.5%, which is huge mm-hmm. in the past couple of months. But who knows what it's going to do? I think it might come back down a little bit and then go back up. So if you're wanting to refinance or purchase, I would say now is definitely the time.
Yeah. I know we talked before we went on air about the real estate end of things. The inventory, I've heard it a couple of times that there's not a lot of inventory right now. It's going very quickly. I mean, I know it depends on the price point, obviously, price point. Right, in the homes. But I think what I heard 250 and above up until, you know, about that $1 million mark, they're going quick. Is that right?
They are. That's a very hard price range. But another good thing that just happened is they just increased loan limits for loans. So normally with the jumbo loan limit, you would be, I think it's 424.1. Anything above 424,000 would be considered a jumbo loan, where now they've changed that to 453.9, I believe it is. So that helps a little bit, you know, trying to get, you don't have to go into jumbo financing, which helps with getting financing in normal conventional limits. So that's going to help a little bit, but it is a hard price range right there between 250 and 350 or 250 and 400.
Every
even.
Scottsdale agent was screams when their client says, I'm looking for something in Scottsdale between 450 and 700.
There isn't anything.
With a pool, 5 bedrooms.
Yes. It's inventory is very low. Very low right now. Yeah. It's tough. I've been looking for a house. I've given up. Sadly, but
the good ones go fast.
I mean, I definitely got caught up in the craze. I mean, I was one of the people putting in the offer way over, and I'm like, what am I doing? We've just gotten, So I think we're just going
to
wait.
You kind of have to check yourself when you get to that point, right? And how important is it for me really to buy above asking?
I became obsessed with finding like a house, and it was like, oh my gosh, we have to go. It's been on the market an hour. And so it's,
and then you're throwing,
break.
Everyone's throwing in all these bids. I've had a lot of my clients make a lot of, you know, it seems the same thing with a couple of clients of mine, just making offers and not getting.
It got to the point where I'd look at the pictures and I would say, oh, we're not even going to bother. It's already got 4 offers. Like the really? Minute it came on, it was like so nice or so well-styled that I was like,
you
oh, forget
could,
it.
Could
it's going to be five people over the asking price. Let's not even look at it.
How important is to be ready, Alicia, ahead of time? So in this situation that Chelsea's describing and you're ready to buy, when do we seek out a lender?
I would say that would be the first thing you should do. Most agents I work with won't take people out until they're qualified. They have to get an approval letter first before they take them out, just because you need to know what you're qualified for, what you can, you know, you don't want to go look at a $450,000 house and then have that be your standard and then find out later that you cannot, you know, you've got to go 400 or less. So it's a very good idea to go and talk to a lender before you even start the process.
Mm-hmm. 1% down loan program. Tell us about that. Is that
I think a lot of people just don't realize you can go out and get a house, you know, for as little down as you can still. I mean,
yeah, 1% is ridiculous.
And that actually is it's a 1% down loan from the client. So the client puts down 1% and the lender actually puts in another 2. So that's a forgivable grant, I guess, the way you want to look at it. So it's really considered a 3% down loan, but only 1% coming from the buyer. So it's, I think, one of the better loans out there. And you can't even do that without mortgage insurance, which I think is a big factor for a lot of people. You know, mortgage insurance increases your payment. And so it's a really, really good loan.
You can do it without mortgage
insurance. Yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And bank statement programs?
They have bank statement programs now again. I don't know if everyone kind of remembers back before. You kind of mentioned that before the market, the stated income loans. Back then, people didn't really have to get qualified for a mortgage because everyone qualified if you had a name, pretty much.
If you were alive.
If you were alive, you could qualify. Right? So it was a very different process back then. Stated income loans did go away for a long time, and now we're starting to see those programs come back out a little bit.
And how do you feel about those programs?
The bank statement programs, I think, are very good for self-employed people, because self-employed individuals write off a lot of their income, obviously, and cannot qualify for the loans that you normally would. Not that they can't, they do qualify, but on paper, they don't qualify. They make the money, but they're writing it off, so they can't show it. So the bank statement programs help that, and they can take the average of their deposits and qualify them off of that income versus the tax return income.
Mm-hmm. Tax changes for 2018?
Changes. I would say the biggest thing that's changing is the mortgage interest, being able to write off the mortgage interest on your loans. You can no longer write off home equity line or second mortgage interest above 7. Well, if it's a new one, you cannot write it off at all unless it goes to like repairs for an investment property or things like that. But the cap is going to be 750 for writing off interest now for all mortgages.
And that's new.
That's new.
As, I mean, right
2018.
Now.
2018. Yeah.
Interesting.
So that will change things a little bit. I think they anticipated it to be, I don't know. A lot of people said it was going to hurt the market, but I don't think that it will hurt the market that much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to hurt a lot of people with the deduction doubling to 24,000, I think it is.
Yeah.
I think now it's 24,000 for 2018 versus 12, I think is what the new standard deduction will be. So.
Interesting.
Yep. See what happens.
I know you're in the what magazine is it that you're often
Home and
featured?
Land.
Home and Land. That's been a longstanding magazine where real estate is concerned, is it not?
It is. It is a good magazine. I do marketing in there with one of my agents, Liz Roth.
Perfect. Good. Yep. So I'm fascinated with the real estate market. Once upon a time, I held my real estate license. It's been many, many years ago. And enjoyed working with people. That was my favorite piece. The contract law and all of that, I left up to my ex-husband back in the day. But I loved being that part of that process with people, you know, just this opportunity to find a new home or to step away from a home for whatever reason, even if it was an emotional change in people's lives, it was exciting. I would imagine, as we talked about earlier, Chelsea, you had mentioned how much social media and really this digital presence that we have changes for real estate agents. Who would be a great real estate agent for Group 4610 Network? Like, who, if you're looking to grow, which I know you are, who ought to consider coming and having a conversation with you guys?
I would say anybody who is passionate, like you said, the story of helping people. And we had a great story. This was not planned. I mean, this came out this morning. Mm-hmm. One of our agents, you know, I think our agents go a little bit extra and, you know, beyond. And she, I was talking to a veteran. She has a heart for veterans, a passion. She has a niche and that's a brand, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever you have a niche and a brand and that's what you attract. And she attracted a veteran who was in transitional housing and was able to get him a home. And he never even thought he was going to be able to get a home, which was so great. I mean, just thinking about that story and like how that person must have felt almost brings me to, you know, tears. And there was somebody else that came from that overheard them talking. And so it's really, again, like one of my favorite things when I was an agent was the hunt of finding the house. I loved opening the door and seeing what was on the other side. And so I was one of those, you know, agents that loved buyers. Now, mm-hmm. a lot of agents like listings. I loved the buyers because I loved the people and I loved going out. And I mean, I liked seeing 20, 30 houses a day. That's, you know, makes some people want to scream. But I think any agent who is looking to be on the forefront of the industry, to say, I know that the industry is changing. I need to learn how to do social media. I need coaching. I need accountability. I need technology. That is the kind of agent that would thrive in our group. Mm-hmm. Whether there's just some beginning experience, there's seasoned experience, any of that. It's really the mindset of the person who wants to walk hand in hand with the team and to leverage not one or two, but all of today's tools with people who are passionate and practitioners and experts.
Excellent. Alicia, is there a niche for you or really, I know that most of your business is referral. So is there any, let's do this. Is there any buyer that you don't, that you wouldn't work with other than a cash buyer?
No, cash buyer, commercial. I don't do any commercial.
Okay, so all residential.
So all residential. I love working with vets. I love the VA loans. They're one of my favorite loans to do. Did a lot with the VA loans when I first started. So, and FHA and conventional. So pretty much do all residential.
And as a broker, you have different products that you work with.
As a broker, we're able to go to any bank that we can get signed up with. I'm probably signed up with about 20 different banks, but you really put your focus on two or three just to build those relationships with the underwriters at the banks and get your loans done faster. But it is nice to be a broker because you can go out and search for the best product for the borrower. You know, you're not just stuck with, here's my rate sheet. This is the rate you're getting. That's why I like being a broker and find it interesting because you get to go out and find the right program and the best rate for the client. and get them the best deal. I mean, we definitely have the best pricing as a broker. You know, if you're looking for a home or doing a refinance, I usually can beat the pricing from banks 9 out of 10 times.
On the end of refinance, how often, and I don't know, like with insurance, I've always heard, you know, shop for insurance or even your phone service, your cell phone service every couple of years, just to make sure that, you know, the rates don't keep increasing on you and you're not staying competitive. With refinance, is there kind of a formula there, or be mindful and watch for it? What are you watching for, the interest rates?
Be mindful and watch for it. But I mean, if you're working with a good broker or loan officer, they're going to watch that for you too.
Excellent.
As rates drop, you know, they can look at their past clients and see if there's a need to refinance. Yeah, it might be time. Give them a call and say, now's the time. And for a lot of repeat clients, you know, we cut our fees. And so it makes sense to do the refinances.
And if someone is looking at either considering a refi or getting ready to buy, what should they kind of put together before they come and have a conversation with you or someone like you?
Honestly, you don't have to have anything to, I mean, if you don't want to have anything, the first conversation, that's fine. I mean, you don't have to come with anything. We can have a conversation to start off with. But after that, you know, you're depending on which direction you go, just your typical financial information, tax returns and pay stubs are the main thing. But just having a conversation first is the best thing.
I know when we were getting ready to refi, it was because of our financial situation, some of the things that we had experienced with my divorce and this and that, I went and had that conversation with you, not knowing what to bring, and said, hey, listen, I would really like to do this. And then we took a look at our financial situation. And I, like I said, I had about a year and a half of having to do some certain things to position myself. Chelsea's nodding her head. Yes. Right. I had to do some things before I could be in a position. And I'm so grateful for you to having just held us in that safe space and cheerlead with me when I'm like, guess what I did? I'm here. Look how my credit score is climbing and this and that. So,
well, there's always a solution. So I like to tell people, I mean, you have to start. So you go talk to somebody and sit down and get a plan together. It's not that you can't buy a house. It's let's figure out how to buy the house and get
when.
The steps to get there and when.
Yeah.
So I don't take no for answer. You know, you have to get them approved and figure out the way to get them approved. If they want to buy a house, there's a way.
Yeah. Great. Anything else that you want to share with us about Group 4610 Network that we hadn't thought to cover before we round out our show?
Well, I think that they're a very unique, like I said, outsider coming as an insider, getting out of the box, coming up with ideas. I mean, there's some brilliant minds that are think tanking at all times in that office. And it's a really fun part to be entrenched in that kind of environment. It just really inspires people to be creative, be their best, to try new things, to fail forward. That's one of the things we always talk about is failing forward. And if you're failing, at least you're trying.
Absolutely.
So I think that mindset is really important, culture and mindset and what you can offer. So I would encourage anyone who's in the real estate industry or beyond to ask those questions and see if they're going to be going somewhere or thinking about leaving. Like, what is the culture that I'd want to be in? Are they going to stretch me? Am I going to grow? Are there opportunities? And are they able to help me get there?
That's great, great suggestions. If someone is considering and even just wants more information, what's the best way for them to interact? Of course, I think the first place is people go to the website. But then after that, is it a conversation, a phone call? What would you recommend for an agent who says, I'm kind of interested?
Yeah, well, we'd love to hear from them. You can find us on Group 4610 online and on Facebook. You can email us at support@group4610network.com. And we'd love to have a conversation, a cup of coffee, and share some ideas.
Perfect. I love most every business owner and or company who comes through Phoenix Business Radio always says, just call us, just email. Let's have a conversation because, right, we want to make sure we work with people we know, like, and trust. And if we're making this decision, whether it's buying a home, changing our real estate company, or, you know, purchasing something, we want to make sure that we feel comfortable with people. So I love to hear people say that. And you both have said that today. Alicia, how can our listeners get a hold of you when they have mortgage interests in mind?
The website as well, truemortgageloans.com. That would be a good way. My contact information is on there just to send an email or a phone call as well.
Perfect. I thank you guys again. Alexa was a little bit quiet today, but I know that you originally came for moral support and I just stuck a microphone in front of you. So I'm really happy. And again, thank you so much for the introduction. I had not been aware of Group 4610 Network until you said, hey, you need to know about these people. So I appreciate it.
Well, Karen, it's always a pleasure seeing you though.
Yeah, thank you. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. I'm Karen Owicki. Until next time.